Right side, Forsberg moves to the middle, shoots, and scores!
Giving you an in-depth look of Smashville's hockey team.
In the front, O'Reilly for the hat trick!
Live from Brewhouse, this is Smashville Live, presented by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. On your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome into Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We got a packed house. Chase McCabe in tonight for Max Herz alongside the one and only Jay Moore, original Preds defenseman. And I see our guest walking in right now. He is ready to go. He is ready for an hour of the hot seat. Jonathan, how you doing? Welcome in. We'll get you all set up here. But we're excited, thanks to the Black Abbey Beer, Black Abbey Brewing Company, for being a part of this as well. And would you please welcome number 81 in your programs, number one in your hearts, Jonathan Marchessault joins us here on Smashville Live. Marsh, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing fantastic. It's good to have you here. You get to kind of see this. This is the first time doing this. Smashville comes in droves, man. They love you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great to come to a great fan base like this, and we definitely feel the energy in the city and at the Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, so has it kind of, like, obviously you've had almost a full season here. You played here as an opponent. Did it live up to the hype of actually being on the good side of things?
Definitely. I mean, it's I always said it, like, in Nashville, it was always one of my favorite spots to play. It was always a lot of atmosphere and a tough building to come play, and it's been a really a good time for me to have them on my side now.
Do you feel like I've been to a couple of games in Vegas, and that atmosphere is pretty cool too?
I mean,
and I think a lot of the things that they do, similar to what we do here in Nashville. Did you kind of feel that maybe the two fan bases, there's some similarities there?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's well, Vegas, they make it you know, like, there's a lot of people that come in town for the games and stuff, and we have a little similar situation here.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great destination to come for a couple games, and, you know, everything is close, and it brings a lot of energy in the building, which I love. But I mean, our fans are definitely really loud, and they're able to get on top of the opponent.
I will add, and I'm Jonathan's probably a little bit too young to remember coming to Nashville when teams would always come in and they would spend most of the night on Broadway and still come in and play
He's
us
never
the next
that.
Day.
Yeah.
Guys are so healthy now, though, that they, yeah, you know, they really take care of their bodies. But, yeah, I think Nashville used to be a little bit more of a destination for a place to come and have a good time. And now these guys are so focused on being healthy and you guys you've got so many games squeezed in here, you know, yeah, this last 2 months. It's pretty much every other night you're playing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the guys like to sometimes go out and, you know, let loose a little bit. But, I mean, there's always a time and place for that. And when the schedule is slammed like this, it definitely makes it a lot harder to go enjoy yourself as a team chemistry and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely something that is important, I think, still in the hockey that we live in right now, because that's how you build team chemistry. You know, that's how everybody, like, all the personalities comes out, and you spend time and at dinner, and you stay a little longer for a couple of beers, and I think it's something that's still really important.
While you're on the subject, do you think that, you remember back to the start of the season when you had the first eight home games? How important is it to get out on the road, like you talk about? Was that a little bit of an issue? Because you had quite a few new guys come to a team, and then you don't get on the road too much and get to know guys because, you know, you've got family obligations and that kind of stuff. Is that was that a little bit difficult this year to start things off?
No, because it was, you know what, the organization was great. They gave us, like, 2 days off to go play golf up in Georgia, I think, and we took a bus and we stayed the night over there, and we played golf that day, and we had a nice dinner, and we went around a fire and just, like, talk and drinks with everybody, and it was actually super fun, and you get to know, like, everybody, especially for new guys like me. So, I really enjoyed it, and, after when you get on the road, you have the rookie party and all those little times that you can do something when the schedule permitted, and, it's been a really smooth transition, and you got to give credit to the management to making sure that all the person in the locker room, they're good people, right? That's what makes it easier for new guys to come in, and they do their homework, and it's definitely been a great chemistry.
Jonathan Marchessault is with us. I know you played with Stamkos a little bit in Tampa Bay, but who did you know the most on this team before you came here, if anyone?
I knew Stammer from playing in Tampa with him, but I was a young guy coming in. So I, like, obviously I was just there for a cup of coffee. But after that, I didn't know much. Like, I just know a little bit the guys from playing against them. I think I was there at an all-star game with Yossi in Vegas. Just playing against them, you know, it's a big world of hockey, but it's a small community. Like, it happened really rarely that you don't meet like a good person, really. So, and we're lucky we have all good persons here. So it's been definitely great. And but like it starts also with your captain. I think Roman Yossi is just such a great soul, a great person, like super polite and gentle, and he definitely makes sure that everybody feels welcome, and it starts with a guy like him.
I joke with him that I don't think I've ever seen him mad, but I know he's got that. Like, if he needs it as a captain, as a leader, like if he needs to get a point across, he will. But like you said, he's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, for sure. He's super nice, and we have a lot of good characters and good people in the locker room, so we're lucky.
You've had some new guys come in, obviously, the deadline, and then some young guys. How do you think they fit in?
I mean, it's good. It's good for the game. It's good for them to have an opportunity, because opportunity to play in the NHL is kind of it's rare. Like, you know, like, there's guys that will get multiple chances, and there's guys that will get just one. So you got to make sure you seize it. And I honestly think that it's been good for them to get more ice time and more to get out there to show what they can give, because, like I said, opportunities, they come rarely, and you got to make sure to be a clutch at those times.
I love stories like yours, too, because, you know, you're an undrafted guy, spent a lot of time in the AHL, earned your spot, Vegas things, you know, Florida and then Vegas things really started to play out for you. Do you use that sometimes when you're talking to a young guy that might get discouraged of, like, man, I'm not getting my chance, or my chances are few and far between? Do you kind of look at your story and try and help them navigate through theirs?
Yeah, I mean, it's if we have to bring it up, you know, I'll bring it up. But I mean, that's probably the one of the things I'm the most proud is the route I took to get here, and there's not a lot of stories like that anymore. And my goal in this is, like, yes, I want to get this story out there, but I just want to give hope for the new generation, you know, like, to believe and hope and hard work, and that's how I was able to do it. So hopefully they can fuel that as motivation and being clutch in the right time.
I think that's definitely what the younger guys look to, is that you know, you don't always have to tell your story. These young guys know it. They know, you know, who you are. They've either come up through the Quebec Junior League, or whether, and it just, that's one great thing about the game of hockey, where the guys, they really rely on each other, and you become such a close family, right? Like, you know, your team in Nashville. That's the hardest part about getting traded as well. You just pretty much say goodbye. You got to be on that flight, you know, within a few hours.
Yeah.
And it's your life changes. So it's important that people understand how close that dressing room is, whether things are going great. You know, it's like a roller coaster ride throughout the year, your ups and downs. And And I think the young guys really rely on veteran players like yourself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a, like you said, it's a tough business, to be honest. Like coming here, moving the whole family and everything, it's definitely been, like, hard. Like, we have, like, high standards for me and my family, and the way the house looks and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely harder than I expected, and it's a tough business. Like, you create relationships, and out of nowhere, the guys that you've been spending the whole year and you've been going to dinner every time you're on the road with, and just like that, he's out of your life now, you know? Like, so it's definitely a tough business. I think of Luke Chen, that was, like, a big part of our group, and, you know, you get to know the guy for a couple months, and just like that, now he's, you know, he's somewhere else. So it's definitely, like you said, a tough business.
Did you talk to, you know, guys that had played here when you were making your decision as a free agent and kind of got advice on Nashville? Or did you kind of, when you talked to Barry Trotz or whoever, you kind of knew, like, this was going to be a really good spot for you and your family?
I mean, I heard a lot of enough good things.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't need, like, somebody to call me and say, we want you and stuff. Like, kind of knew. I wanted, like, I literally, like, told my agent, like, gave a couple teams that I would be really interested in, and Nashville was in it. So
yeah,
it was, like, pretty easy for me, the decision. And Nashville, I didn't, like, I wanted to see for a good fit as well, you know, like, both ways. And, it was an easy decision. It's, you know, you look at the great cities to live in the NHL, and you take consideration, like the organization, the team, the facility, the weather, the taxes, all that kind of stuff. And Nashville is a top five place in the NHL that you want or you don't want. So it was definitely an easy decision.
We will have more with Jonathan Marchessault. These people are excited to see you here. You're going to take some pictures and all of that. More coming with Jonathan Marchessault next on Smashville Live here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here on Smashville Live, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday night. Brew House South down in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe and Jay Moore with you alongside Jonathan Marchessault, Nashville Predators forward. Now, I have some inside info that your son's a pretty good hockey player.
Which one? I got three.
Whoever Coach Max coaches.
My oldest.
Yeah, your oldest. So yeah. I have heard stories that he's got some compete and he's pretty good. So how fun is it that your kids are playing?
Yeah, well, I got four kids. My daughter has absolutely zero interest in hockey. So that's an easy one. She's into tennis and all that.
Cool.
But my three boys are definitely really interested in hockey. They play mini hockey every day pretty much. You know, it's been great, too, because that's what I grew up doing, you know, and that's what I know best in the world is the world of hockey. So for me, like, sharing the passion that I have and sharing it with them, it's been like a gift for me for, like, forever. I'm so grateful that they love the same thing that I do, and hopefully I can be a good role model for them and help them build a successful lifestyle and, you know, a successful work ethic. I think it's like anything in life. Like, I want them to have a passion, whatever passion it is, and I want you to pursue it. And you know, like, yeah, that's really what I want for them.
That's fantastic. How old are they?
They're my oldest is about to be 11.
Okay.
My daughter is 9. My third kid is about to get 7, and my last one is turning 6 this summer. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Your oldest, is this when it kind of that is that the age where it starts to get real serious of, you know, hey, if this is something you want to continue to do on down the road, you're going to have to, it's not just a game anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you know what, it's what's the part that is sad is now it's really serious at a young age, you know. So it's like when I was young, I was playing, like, I was into the baseball, I was into football too, I played like a season of soccer, I was doing like tennis and golf camps, I was doing all the sports, and which I want my kids to do. I put them in everything, but they always have hockey. So, but I give them like a month to 2 months in the summer just off. And that's something that we don't see a lot in the kids of our age, like of their age. It's like they go on full year, and I think that's a lot. Like they got to get away from the game a little bit to keep the passion and get excited to come back.
You probably have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've, you know, I wouldn't. My season would finish in March, and it would start again in September.
Yeah.
So I just and after I would play baseball the whole year, the whole summer, and so it's something that I did, but I now give my kids a break, even if they don't necessarily want to. I give my kids a break, and I put them in all the other sports, and I think it's important to become like. It sounds crazy, but growing up, like I did, like only tennis camp, and I just play with my friend at tennis. And now I can go out and a friend, and hey, you want to go play tennis? And you play, even if you play 2-3 times a summer, yeah. I know how to play. You know, like it's something that is carries on your whole life, and that's something that I want my kids to have.
Do you feel like that? You know, as you've gone through this process with your kids, that you balance of being dad because you're dad first, but then also. Being a coach, being a guy that's playing at a high level, trying to help them along, but also let them figure some stuff out on their own.
Yeah, it's you know, I think, like, as a person, finding balance in anything, it's the hardest thing. Like, you want to be a good dad, you want to be a good husband, you want to be a good friend, you want to, you know, it's so hard to find balance. I like to do things over the top. I like to be there always if I can, you know? Like, I don't find myself excuses, oh, I'm tired or stuff like that. I think my kids don't deserve it, me to be tired and not being there for them at their practice and stuff like that. So so I do over the top things, and I like to be around them. And, yeah, I think every time they do a game or a practice or anything, there's something positive and there's something constructive. And that's for anything they do, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can relate to what he's saying, because when I came to Nashville, I signed as a free agent. I was 28 at the time. My kids were young, like yours were, our Jonathan, and they were getting into youth hockey, and I think my oldest was 8 when I got injured and kind of got into coaching. But I'll tell you a quick little story. My first year of coaching, I guess. So, you know, the kids are 8-9 years old, and there wasn't enough kids to make a team here in Nashville. So I had to go to the roller rink, and I was told that kids practice, you know, like on a Tuesday night, just go down and round up some kids. So by the start of the season, I had like 11 kids, enough to make, and we played like travel hockey. We were going to Atlanta and every other city, like, because there was really no hockey here locally unless, you know, you play house league. But So you get off the, like, a road trip at, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning, and you grab the coffee and take the kids to practice first thing the next morning. So that's a good story. And then the kids, you know, with the work ethic that they learn, you touched on this, they will carry that through. My kids are much older now. They're in late 20s, early 30s. So I see the work ethic that they learned in hockey. And I'll tell you, it's amazing what the kids learn. Whether or not they go on to a, you know, a high level, but they always reflect back on that, and they'll fall back on that work ethic that they learned in their early days. So I commend you on putting the time in with the kids, because they grow fast, and it pays off big time.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know what I want that I really strongly believe is, when the kids have a passion, they stay out of trouble. You know, like growing up as a parent, you always wonder if they're gonna turn out okay and all that kind of stuff, and I think if you have a passion, well, it keeps you out of, like, being around bad people, I think. So
you've got that focus.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can this is what I'm doing. I'm going to practice. I'm gonna, you know, take some shots when I at home instead of going doing other things.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Now your kids play against other players' kids too, right?
Yeah.
So how's that competition between not only the kids but maybe you and some of your teammates?
I mean, it's, I don't see it as much as competition. I just see it like, I know.
Bragging rights, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. But, like, you know, it's, I feel bad sometimes for, my kids, because, like, they show up somewhere and they're like, oh, this is this kid's son, this guy's son, you know?
Yeah.
And so they already have, like, a bullseye on them. It's like, oh, this guy, oh, his dad's in the NHL. Why is he not, like, you know, like, dominant or something like that? Or maybe he is, but maybe the kids are going to go harder on him and they're going to give him, like, a body check when they're not supposed to and all that kind of stuff, you know? Like, so I feel like sometimes it's a little hard for them to – because they don't deserve to have expectations, and they do. You know,
yeah.
So I think sometimes it's a little hard for them for that. But I'm trying to, like, make them aware of, like, those situation. And hopefully they can still perform despite that.
How are your kids' celebrations? You got pretty good cellies when you score a goal. So how are they in that?
They're outrageous. I hate it. So I don't like the celebration of the new generation, really. I think they do a little too much. I think sometimes it's important to celebrate when it's a big goal, but sometimes it's also good to show that this is what we do, you know, it's just business as usual, and you need a little bit of everything.
It's okay to be humble.
Yeah, exactly.
Every once in a while. Right?
I mean, when your celebration takes as long as the goal, that's not okay.
Yeah,
and we've seen some. You mentioned this new generation. Like, you see guys like, you know, Connor Bedard, who's a couple years in. I mean, you know, as you are, and obviously you've got a while in your career, but as you kind of look at what's coming up and even some young guys with the Predators, what do you see kind of the future looking like in the NHL?
Obviously, I think that the NHL puts a lot of emphasis on the young guys coming in, and I think that puts a lot of extra pressure on them. And, you know, I think Connor Bedard has a lot of media attention. Obviously, he's in a big market, like an original six and all that. But I just think it puts a lot of pressure on the young kid. And, like, obviously, everybody thought he was going to be, like, as close as a Connor McDavid as it can be. And I just think that's too much to ask to a young kid. You don't know how everybody's going to react, how it's going to be, like, who is he going to play with and all that. And I think, like, that kid, like, he comes in an organization that they don't like. They're rebuilding, so it's definitely tougher, and the expectations are high for him. So, I think it's tough to put a lot of pressure on those young guys. And you look at that Celebrini, that I think I really love his game personally. I think not just I couldn't care less if he's putting amazing numbers or not, but it's just the way he plays the game. He plays hard, physical, and he makes the right plays at the right time, and he's not forcing anything. He's not trying to be extremely offensive. He's just trying to be a complete player, and I enjoy it. But he's in a smaller market, right? So we don't hear too much about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's been great to follow this guy in particular.
Well, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because, like, I look at, you know, some of the young guys with our team that, you know, whether it's Vange or whoever, that they get that pressure that sometimes they put on themselves. I mean, that's natural, obviously. But then, you know, everybody's talking, well, this guy's got to get 40 goals this year. This guy's got to get whatever. And it's just like, at the end of the day, it is a game. And I know it's a business, but you got to go out there and just play your own way and take that pressure off.
Well,
so it's cool to hear you say that.
That's why you got to respect a lot of guys that has consistency, and they do it yearly. Like, you look at Alex Ovechkin, what he's doing right now, like, year after year after year. Crosby, you know, guys like that just keep performing. Even when the people are expecting, they keep doing it. Because to do it every single year, the same amount of stats, the same amount of goals, of productivity, of wins, and all that kind of stuff, it's hard. It's a hard league to do it, and now it's like the league is changing, and it's just getting such a performance-based league, and it's definitely hard to create consistency. Like, you see, like, my year right now is not as good as it was last year. It's more maybe like it was 2 years ago, you know. So, it's just from experience, it's definitely hard to exceed expectations every year.
100%. Jonathan Marchessault is with us tonight here on Smashville Live. Coming up next, We're going to let them ask you a couple questions. Is that cool? Okay. We're going to go out there and get some questions from the audience. We'll have more coming here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe, Jay Moore with you. Jonathan Marchessault is our guest tonight. Appreciate Black Abbey Brewing for being on board as well. We got a capacity crowd here. How are we feeling tonight? We're feeling good. Marsh is wrapping up some pictures. You can hang out there, and we'll go out in the audience here. All right, who's going to lead? You're going to lead us off. All right, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to take some questions from the audience. Raise your hand, and then say your name, where you're calling from. That's what I'm used to saying. All right, you lead us off. What's your name?
Brandon.
All right, Brandon, what's your question?
So I had heard at the beginning of the season that Steven Stamkos gave you a call to kind of influence your decision in coming here. Is that true or not?
That got taken a little bit out of proportion. We did call each other. It was July 1st, and I was negotiating with my agent, and he was like, oh, I think the Preds – he was saying that my agent was saying that the Preds wanted me and Stammer. And they're still not going to sign just one of us. They're signing both of us. So I was like, oh, really? Okay. And finally, a couple of minutes later, I'm like, well, I know I didn't talk to Stammer in the past few years, but I'm going to give him a call, see if it's true and stuff. So I called him, and he's like, hey, I'm like, straight up, are you signing in Nashville? He's like, yeah, it's pretty much done. I was like, oh, really? Me too. So it just that's how it turned out.
It's that easy sometimes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sir. What's your name?
My name is Russ. We're season ticket holders, have been for a long time. We love that you're here with the Preds. Here's a question. I've noticed how much of a team player you are. You have around 30 assists this year, which, you know, in consideration of our season, is outstanding. I just want to know how important to you is it to have those assists and, like, take care of the other guys in addition. You know, you're trying to score too, but I just think that shows what kind of player you are, that you're a team player. You have those assists. Plus, I've seen how hard you work in warm-ups. Shows me the same thing.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I mean, I'm not trying to be just a goal scorer. I've been known a lot to be a goal scorer. I'm not trying to be just that. I'm trying to be a kind of player that makes the right plays at the right time and not necessarily being just one. Like, in my previous role in Vegas, I was sometimes more utilized to just be a goal scorer and, like, to shoot the puck more often, where I was located on the power play, who I was playing with, all that kind of stuff. I was more a guy that would shoot the puck more often compared to here. I think I'm trying to bring the same energy, but I'm going to try to make the right plays at the right time. And, I think I'm teaching that to my kids. Assists are as important as the goals. So, it just happened this year that I've been doing more assists than the others.
All right, let's go to our next one here. You're not last. I'm kidding.
Ryan, question. So you came from Florida to Vegas, now here. Out of those three spots, when did you become the most aggressive that you play on the ice now? Because we all nickname you the Tasmanian Devil, the way you play on the ice, the way you're in the boards, you're always in someone's face. And it's like something this team hasn't had in a long time, and it's very energizing to see it.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I'm definitely not doing that enough this year. That's something that I think is lacking in my game. And, as a man, you got to realize when you do good things and when you do constructive things. And that's one thing that I think I can ramp up a notch. But I think I got to say, that was in me. I was like that when I was young. You know, I was a guy that I was the smallest guy of my friends, but I was probably the toughest one. And when we were fighting and wrestling and all that kind of stuff, I was always the guy winning. And same on the ice, I was a guy that took a lot of pride of winning my battles or my races or anything I had to do on the ice. So that's kind of in me. And I arrived in the NHL, and I was in a role that I needed to be more of an energy bug a little bit. So I'm always trying to bring that to the table. But like I said, I think this year has been a year that is lacking in my game, and I'm definitely working on getting it back as quick as possible.
All right, let's go to our next one. What's your name and question?
My name is Nick Krell. I was wondering, you've always had a chip on your shoulder. How's that underdog mentality helped you fuel your success before and after winning the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been the guy growing up that I was too small to make the team, so I would be cut. I was not fast enough, and finally I would, maybe that year, I would make the team, you know? So it was always like something happening, but I love coming in a situation that people doubt me and they don't believe in me, because I just, that's what fuels me personally. That's what, like, the doubters, that's what I like, you know? So coming from nowhere, and obviously this year was a little bit different situation, but yeah, it's something that I love, playing for something. And this year, obviously, we're definitely having a tougher stretch. But I think maybe that's a setback for our team to come back stronger. And I think that's the goal that we have. And but we gotta keep bringing the intensity, and especially in front of our fans. And like yesterday, I think that's something that we should have done different is our start of our game. And that's if we play good in front of our fans, make it a tough building to come in, and I think it's always a boost for the organization.
All right, we got time for one more. Anybody else? Anybody else going once? Going twice? Wait, over here? Where? Okay. What's your name?
Slade.
What's your question?
What's your favorite part about Nashville and least favorite part about Nashville?
Solid.
Yeah, good question. My favorite part about I love living here. I think the my favorite part was how I felt like people here are genuinely nice. And that's not something that you find commonly. That's my favorite part of Nashville, and there's a vibe in the city, the country vibe of like in a close community. There's something special here that is tough to explain, but I mean, I've been a lot of places in my life, and definitely it's the warmest place. It's here, and it's been nice to give that to my kids. The worst thing about Nashville,
traffic.
Yeah, traffic stuff for sure. I would say the weather. I thought it was a little high. It was a cold winter, I thought, this year. I'm really ready for the 20s. I'm ready for a steady 20 in Nashville, but people were saying that it was a little. People were saying that it was a little colder winter this year. So maybe it's not uncommon.
We will have more of Smashville Live. Jonathan Marchessault is our guest tonight. Predators Ford, we'll have more coming up next. Brewhouse South and Cool Springs, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Smashville Live here on this Wednesday night. We're at Brewhouse South and Cool Springs, presented by Black Abbey Brewing. Hope you're having a great night. Jonathan Marchessault, our guest tonight. Jay Moore, of course, here. And Chase McCabe in for Max Herz. This week, Predators are back in action tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks. We'll have pregame coverage for you starting at 6 o'clock. The puck drop just after 7 here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, as the Predators look to get back in the win column. They'll wrap up the home stand Saturday against Toronto, and then they head to St. Louis, a team they saw last night. Again, we mentioned it three times in 10 days. They see the Blues. That'll be Sunday night at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. And so wrapping up a few pictures and autographs here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs with Jonathan Marsh. So, yeah, do you hate the Blues yet?
Well,
you
kinda,
will in about 10 days.
Yeah, I kind of saw, like, well, when you come in a new team, you don't have the same rivalries. and I kind of saw that there's something there. I liked it a lot, and I thought, you know, we were playing a lot better when we had that late goal in the second play period yesterday, make it 3-1.
Yeah.
Make it interesting after we give up a goal on the offensive zone faceoff, a 2-on-1 tap in. So that was really unfortunate. So we kind of like that the margin was a little too high there. But I definitely enjoyed it.
It's funny. St. Louis was, Jay, you know, they were in your division when you guys first started. I feel like 2017, that playoff series, is when it really went up a notch. And you know this, like that. The playoffs seem to do that. They kind of spark rivalries.
Yeah, I mean, it's this, the playoff. It's. I mean, it's honestly, it's that's what I play for. You know, I just want to get there, and like that's you know, you get to a point in your life that you're excited to be in NHL, and you come in as a young kid, you just want to play, and now I'm at a stage in my life that I want to play meaningful games, and. The playoff are the best time of the year. You know, it's spring. It's super nice outside. It's the best hockey. You just breathe and live hockey. So, like I said, this year I think it's more of a year of like, just more recharge your batteries a little bit. You know, so I think it's good because the year before I won, when my old team, we didn't do the playoff the year before that. Yeah. So. Maybe sometimes it's good to have a setback in a longer summer, a little bit more workout, and, you know, you come in more healthy and ready for a longer year.
You're right. The playoffs are hard to get into. Is it I don't even know where I was going with it, but, you know, you missed the playoffs 1 year, like you said, and you guys came back in Vegas after missing it and had a good run. Is, like... Did you get that feeling here that could happen? You've got, you know, a lot of the pieces are in place. You just – sometimes that happens. You don't – like, and your window is so small.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to get too much into it, what I think about, like, the Preds and everything. And, I believe a lot in the Preds, and I do believe that we have a lot of pieces in the right spots. And it starts with your goaltender. We have a solid goaltender and the goaltending department. We did a big trade this year that I think it's big juice when he came in. I think he showed that he's definitely an NHL player, you know, like he's been good. And Little Juice has been unbelievable as like since so many years, right? They've been great competitors so for us. And it starts with a good goaltending. And after you have a leadership group with a good work ethic, like you – people don't know that, but to be the best players on each teams, on certain teams, the best players are normally the hardest working guys. You know, it's just how it's the one that do a lot. And you look at our team, like the guys that really put in the effort, like a Ryan O'Reilly is always first on the ice. Roman Josi, like he always does everything 100 miles per hour. And Phil Fosberg always works on his shot, and same with Stammer. Like, it starts with guys like that makes it a successful organization. And obviously, this year we don't have all the pieces to be successful, but I mean, we have the base and we have the destination, and that's something that we got to take to our advantage.
Jonathan Marchessault is our guest tonight on Smashville Live. As someone that's from Quebec, what was it like the first time you got to play in Montreal?
Oh, I mean, that was great. It's definitely nerve-wracking because I grew up and I was my family was a Quebec Nordique fan.
Yeah, okay.
Back then, and I was only 4 or 5 years old when they left. So growing up for a bit, like until my early teenager years, I was a fan of Colorado a lot. Like my favorite player was Joe Sakic. After I had Marty St. Louis, just because he was the only little guy in the NHL being able to be successful. And after Sidney Crosby came in, you know, so it's those guys that really inspired me. But yeah, going to Montreal, like after I become a fan in Montreal, maybe around like 14, 15 years old, I became a fan of the team. You know, we had great years with Alak and Price and Koivu and Kovalev, and all those guys were like big studs for the Montreal community there. So I was definitely nerve-wracking to play there. And it's a tough building to play in. There's buildings that are built different. And the way that Montreal is built, it's like it doesn't go like spread away from the ice. It's like everybody looks like it's on top of you, like a gladiator arena kind of. So it was definitely heartwarming. Like it's hard. Like it's like everybody knows your name, everybody knows you. You have so much friends and family that texts you before and after and all that. So it was a nerve-wracking experience, and now it's probably one of my favorite spot to go on the road for sure.
You know, we obviously know you won the Stanley Cup with Vegas, and I remember when you guys were celebrating, you took the picture with the original guys that were on that first expansion team. How special was that of knowing that, you know, guys like yourself that had come in, and, you know, you never know how, you know, Jay, I never know how it's going to go with guys that come from different places, to put all that work in, and just a few years later, you finally got to do it.
Yeah, and you know what, that's the one thing with expansion, it's you don't know what kind of team you're going to have.
Yeah.
And it's like when everybody was picking the team, like, oh my God, though, that team's going to suck this year, you know? Like, they're going to win 10 games all year. So we keep hearing that we're bad and all that. So we didn't think too far. We just take one game at a time, and we were underdogs, like, which, like, definitely fits my game, you know? Like, so we surprised and we make it to the finals, but, like, we definitely dropped the ball there. I think it was up for grabs, but... You know, when the hockey gods just switch around us around that time, and we hit a lot of post and out and all that kind of stuff. So, and you know, at the end of the day, their power play, the Washington power play, was super good, and their depth of their lineup was better than ours. And I think that was a major difference in the finals.
Jonathan Marchessault is with us. So Anaheim coming in tomorrow, they're you know, kind of a young team too, kind of trying to figure out where they're going in the future. What can you say about them? You just saw them just last week.
Yeah, I mean, for a group, it's a winnable game. You know, it's unfortunate that we lost two against them over there, and they're trying to make a run to come back in the playoff race and all that. And I mean, for me, it's at that time of the year, I think it's about taking pride and. Hopefully just like crushing their dreams, you know, like everybody was hard against us because we did a lot of this summer, and it was definitely a tough start, and people were ready against us, and now it's our time to crush other organizations' dreams.
I love that attitude. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this. It's hard to believe it's flown by and we're out of time. Let's give it up one more time for Jonathan Marchessault.
Thanks for having me
on Smashville Live. That's going to do it for us. Preds Insiders is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.